All right. It doesn't look like anybody's going to be joining me today. So I'll go ahead and just get started. Maybe they'll join while we're in the middle. Rick said possibly he would do that. We'll see. Let me play this.
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance Briefing. Please visit our website, https://rabr.kailejohansen.us. There you can find links to send us feedback, connect to us on social media, or instructions on how to load the podcast onto your device. I'm Kyle John Johansson. This is Andrew Scott Sutton and Rick Ross Bosley. It's time to talk Star Wars.
Star Wars. Yeah, like I said, the two of them aren't going to be joining. So it's just me today. Yay! Today we're going to be reviewing Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 14, called Flash Strike. We're going to discuss the episode. We'll do a Funko Star Wars unboxing. And, you know, kind of maybe I'll come up with some predictions for the last episode. The final episode, this would be the penultimate episode today that we're talking about. So let me get started with that. Let's go. Actually, let's do a thing of news.
It's time for the news.
Yeah, so the news is really just something simple. You know, I wanted to remind everybody that we're going to have a little time off in between the Bad Batch. Just a short time off. The, what was I going to say? Oh, the Tales of the Empire is going to be starting, or it's going to drop on May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. And they're going to drop all six episodes at once. So we're looking forward to that. That's basically going to continue on. We're going to probably review a few episodes a week. And that will likely get us maybe a week off before The Acolyte starts in June. I think The Acolyte's, what does it say? Premiere on June 4th, two episode premiere. So I just wanted everybody to know all that. And, you know, thank everybody who's been listening and watching and not sending us feedback. So we do need your feedback. This is a participation show, is if we can. You know, we're not doing a very good job of that because we aren't getting any feedback to respond to. But if we could, that'd be awesome. And we could, you know, definitely have some crosstalk on that. So send us some feedback. And with that, we're going to do the unboxing.
Now we have a special treat. It's unboxings.
Yay. Yay. We're here. Yay. Woohoo. All right. So let's do this unboxing. All right. Here's our box. This is our billy goat. And here's our stabby Sharpie tool. All right. Here we go. What was that again?
Yeah.
Now let's unbox. Here we go. I'm opening that side. Oh, there's a lot of tape on here. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Get this one open. Alright, here we go. You ready? Ooh, this one's not covered. Ooh, what could that be? Let me cover it up so you can't see. Get it out of the box. Look at that. All right, it says Star Wars 581. And it's Kuristan. Kuristan. See, there's the name. The number. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Let's flip it over on the side. Yep. Yep. You can see. Look, he's got his big gun on there. Yep. Yep. Look at the back. All right. This is part of the Boba Fett collection, it says. Curious Dan. Second one there in the list. Let's see what the side view looks like. Here we go. Here we go. Oh, that's a bad side view. We got some colors and stuff there, but we can't really tell what's going on there. It's kind of funky. All right. And here's the top. We can barely see. There's no eyes, just eyebrows. All right, that's our unboxing. That was Kuristan's unboxing. Yay! All right, that was pretty good. That was Kuristan was the unboxing. Remember him? He's the bounty hunter Wookiee with black and white hair. He's pretty impressive. Carries a pretty big gun and is seems like he's always angry about something. Probably about how the Empire treated him. He grew up as a kind of a gladiator kind of thing where they forced him to fight and stuff, and you know, that's all he knows anymore, I guess. So let's do this here. All right, that's our spoiler alert. That means you know, if you haven't watched the episode, please go watch it, because we're going to spoil everything we can about this episode. We're going to talk about it quite a bit in very, very detailed here. So, you know, go watch it and then come right back, and we'll get you through it. And we would appreciate any feedback you have. You know, maybe we told the story wrong. Maybe you think our opinions are wrong. Anything, feedback. You'll hear that at the end of the show. We'll tell you how to get that feedback to us. So let's get started here. The director, the director of the show is Nate Villanova. Writer is Brad Rao. And it's edited by Matt Mitchovitz. And he appears to be the set editor for the entire season. We have musical score. Also, the entire season, it's been Kevin Kinnear, Sean Kinnear, and Deanna Kinnear, the whole team. And let's go through the cast. We have quite a bit of cast. Most of it is, you know, we've got some stuff on Tannis. We've got, you know, the base where they, you know, go to so they can figure out a way to get to Tannis, all that stuff. So let's go through them. We've got Hunter, Wrecker, Bachelor, Commander Scorch, Crosshair, and several other clone troopers. There might be one or two talking in the hallway. All those done by D. Bradley Baker. And we've got Omega, which is always done by Michelle Ang. Dr. Royce Hemlock by Jimmy Simpson. Dr. Scalder by Helen Sadler. Emery Carr by Keisha Castle Hughes, which we always say Emery Carr, but she's a doctor too, so she's a Dr. Emery Carr. One of the kids in the you know, the secret containment area, SP-32, his name is actually Jax. He's played by Ivan Sinitsin. There was a Lieutenant Novitz, played by Jeff Boehm. A medical assistant was also Jeff Boehm. We had Rampart, Vice Admiral Rampart, which what he becomes a you know, just a not a major, what is it, captain. He becomes a captain in this show, which is a demotion. What the hell? And he's always played by Noshir Dalu. There was an Imperial Tech played by Matthew M. Garcia. Sammy, which is one of those captured, was played by Naya Singh Padia. SP-54, which is Eva, is played by Alan M. Whedon. Byron, is played by Sheila Young. There was a nanny droid. I think the nanny droid is the one that's been taking the blood and stuff. That's by Shelby Young also. RA-781, which I think is on the ship that they're trying to use to the medical ship they're trying to use to sneak into Tanis on. That's the droid that I don't know, I guess not Hunter, one of the Bad Batch kill. And then there's a Storm Trooper also, both of them done by Steven Stanton. And let's do a commercial so I can take a drink after that. We'll do this one.
Hey, you over there. Are you a trooper? Is your armor always dirty? When do you find time to clean it? Did Rebel scum scratch and damage it? Does your helmet communications keep acting up? Stop by Aeron's Armor Sparkalorium. Before 1500 hours, we will wash, clean, and sanitize your armor for the next day pickup. Our patented galactically ancient secret cleaning techniques. We'll have your armor sparkling just like a new Cerulean Y-1300 freighter just off the assembly line. You'll be the envy of all your friends and co-workers, from the castles on Lothal to the politicians on Coruscant to the environmentalists on Endor. For your next day service, stop by Aeron's Armor Sparkalorium. We are located in Tatooine's Mos Eisley Spaceport, directly across from Hangar 35. We will also repair and sell most parts at the best rates in the known galaxy. All services guaranteed and licensed by the Emperor himself to last a lifetime, only at Aeron's Armor Sparkalorium. We accept Imperial credits only. Helmets and boots are services are extra.
Yeah, so yeah, we've seen a few stormtroopers at least that could use a little cleaning up of their uniforms. As a matter of fact, the Bad Batch does a huge cleaning of their uniforms where they strip all the paint and everything off of them. They kind of sandblast them off, it looks like. Anyway, so this episode is season 3, episode 14, called Flash Strike. The episode originally aired on April 24th and was about 23 to 24 minutes long. And it took place, again, 18 before the Battle of Yavin, which is 18 years before the first Death Star blew up. And that can only mean that it's time to grab your favorite beverage. Pull up a chair and join us in the Rebel Alliance briefing room. All right. We start the episode traveling in hyperspace on the stolen shuttle Alpha 44, which is attached to the hull of the Imperial science vessel. Edmund Rampart warns the Bad Batch that the Imperial scanners will detect them once they exit hyperspace. Hunter proposes detaching the science vessel before then and infiltrating on foot. Crosshair warns the jungle is deadly. Deadly. Which Rampart agrees with. Wrecker asks how Echo is going to get off the science vessel, prompting Hunter to reply he will find a way. And the proximity alert sensor rings, meaning they're getting close. So they, dun dun dun. Inside the science vessel, Echo accesses a computer and copies the data. He hides as a RA-7 protocol droid approaches. At Tanis Base, Dr. Royce Hemlock asks Clone Commander Scorch about the status of the science vessel. Scorch says the starship is approaching, but warns of a security breach. explaining that Clone Force 99 infiltrated the orbital station with Rampart. Scorch says that they fled on a stolen shuttle when the science vessel departed and they could be monitoring it. Hemlock scrambles starfighters to monitor the airspace around Tanis. Descending into the planet Wayland's atmosphere, the clones detach the shuttle from the science vessel. They encounter three Imperial Alpha Nimbus class V-wing starfighters, which, yeah, these things were a little different. I think we've seen them before. It's just, Dr. Hemlock has got himself some of the best equipment around, which these are supposed to be top-notch starfighters, which begin pursuing them. And Hemlock and Scorch received news of the encounter at Tanis Base Control Room. Laser cannons inflict hits on the wings of the shuttle, causing it to descend into the jungle. At the Tanis Vault, Omega, Eva, Sammy, and Jax hear sounds of laser cannons, and like they're playing with their toys, and their blocks fall down because, you know, they're shaking and rumbling, which Omega is familiar with, you know, those sounds and stuff. In the observation deck, Dr. Emily Carr and her colleagues learn of the intrusion and put the place on lockdown. Carr orders a lockdown and procedures to be implemented and tasks Dr. Skadler with safeguarding the children. Skadler says that her concerns for the specimens, I guess they're not children, they're specimens, is unwarranted. Omega tells the other children that her brothers have found her. I think they're like, you know, what is that? What's going on? And maybe she says, like, they found me. And they're like, what? She says, my brothers have found me. With the deflector shields failing, Hunter redirects energy to the shuttle's cannons and shoots down one of the pursuing V-wings. Hunter sets the shuttle onto autopilot while the clones and Rampart descend into the jungles of Wayland using cables. This kind of freaks out Rampart because he, he's not used to doing this work. He's a executive in the Imperial Army, and, you know, he just gives orders. He doesn't do stuff. So he's kind of scared about this. Wrecker and Crosshair descend first, followed by Hunter and Rampart. Rampart's cable malfunctions, and he begins to scream and flail and, you know, pretty much act like a baby, prompting Hunter to sever the cable. Rampart falls, but Hunter grabs him in midair. The two detach from the shuttle just as the Imperial pilot destroys the shuttle with a laser salvo, whatever. Pew, pew, pew. That's all that matters. Pew, 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 pew. After an Imperial weapons technician confirms the stolen shuttle has been hit, Hemlock dispatches patrols to the crash site to confirm. Scorch informs him the science vessel is approaching. Hemlock orders the ship and its entire crew be searched and scanned at the hangar, you know, in case there's somebody extra on there. As the science vessel enters the hangar, Echo disguises himself as a TK stormtrooper before the ship's captain, Lieutenant Novitz, and his troops can unload the cargo. Scorch and the detachment of stormtroopers arrive to search the vessel and check their clearance per Hemlock's orders. Novak complies reluctantly. He does complain a little bit. And he's like, what the hell? This is not normal procedure. In the jungle, Crosshair tells Wrecker they should maintain calm silence and head to Tanis Base. Wrecker asks if he knows where he's going. Crosshair alludes to his imprisonment at the Tanis Base, prompting Wrecker to joke about Crosshair breaking in. Crosshair is reluctant to return to Tanis Base, but is determined to honor Omega for her not leaving him behind. And she, he kind of mentions that to our buddy, the Rampart. He says, you know, I think Rampart asks, why are we doing this? This is crazy. And he kind of explains it to Rampart that she didn't leave him behind, so he's not going to leave her behind, even though he's had every opportunity to do so. They are then joined by Hunter and Rampart opinions that the clones would not survive their mission. He takes cover as a LAT ship patrol gun flies over them. Two patrol gunships approach the burned remains of the crash, and a clone commando confirms they found no one in the wreckage. His superior officer orders them to search the nearby jungle. Dun, dun, dun. What do you think's going to happen? Are they going to get on the base? We'll see. We'll see. We got a little bit of an episode left, so we'll see. At the science vessel, Imperial stormtroopers search through the ship while a disguised Echo leaves the computer booth. He is confronted by the RA-781 droid, protocol droid, who says he is not authorized to be here. You're not authorized. But Echo claims he was checking the manifest before shooting the protocol droid in the chest and basically destroying it. Echo steals the droid's hand before exiting the ship through the astigmatic droid chute. So now he looks like he's got a real hand because he doesn't have, you know, he's got that little thing. So maybe that hides him a little bit more than he normally. He mingles among other stormtroopers following him through the corridor. Meanwhile, Eva asks the scientists and the lab droids why they have not taken their vitals. Jax says he doesn't know, and this is kind of weird, you know, because they're in lockdown, so they're not used to being in lockdown. They're being ignored, basically. Omega tells the other children that she will go scout and tells them to cover for her if she does not make it back in time. When Eva and Jax ask what she means, she tells them to stall the droids if they come snooping. When Sammy asks how, Omega tells them to improvise and that she is counting on them to buy her some time. Omega crawls in the dumb raider system behind her cell, dodging lifts. And we jump into the jungle where Rampart chases following Crosshair's orders to keep moving. When Rampart quips about a good soldier following order, Crosshair replies that depends on who is giving them. Rampart doesn't think he can win against the Empire and suggests that both he and Crosshair are only loyal to themselves. Crosshair disagrees and says he has changed. I've changed, dang it. I'm not that mean old guy. I changed again. I still chew on the grass, though, the little grass stick. Inside the main terminal, Echo breaks away from the stormtrooper unit he was following and uses his cybernetic arm to access a network terminal. He uses it to locate the vault. Meanwhile, Omega jumps through the dumbwaiter structure. The Bad Batch and Rampart avoid a stormtrooper patrol and approach a large rock face. While the clones discuss their next plans, Rampart rests his head against a large furry Dryax. Dryax, and that was a huge, I don't know, lizard type of monster thing. Let's see. I'm going to pull it up here and see what it actually says about it. Okay. Dryax. Dryax were a type of huge humanoid-shaped predator found in the jungles of the planet Wayland. They possess glowing red eyes and lupine features. Around 18 Battle Yavin, the clones, Omega and Crosshair encountered the Dryax while fleeing Tanis Base. So these are the weird, crazy, fast, and dangerous creatures that Omega and Crosshair were avoiding when they escaped the first time. Creature roared at them. allowing the clone, but the Lucre hounds attacked him and allowed the Crosshair and Omega to escape. Now, Clone Force 99 is traveling with Rampart. Dryax is awoken and chases the Clone Force through the jungle. So, yeah, they get a very dangerous creature after them. Probably some sort of cloning going on there. Combination between this and that. All right. The clones and Rampart attempt to retreat, but Rampart panics and flees into the jungle. As the Dryax gives chase, Crosshair and Wrecker fight the beast. The Dryax hurls Wrecker against a tree, and he kind of loses his breath a little bit. It kind of knocks the wind out of him. The clones retreat with the beast in pursuit. Rampart gets separated from the group and walks past a stormtrooper patrol, who are alerted by the beast making all kinds of noise. The clones run into the path of the stormtroopers, resulting in a brief gunfight. The Dryax attacks the stormtrooper patrol, knocking several of the Imperials out. Rampart runs into the path of three stormtroopers from a separate patrol. So he's getting all kinds of trouble. Yeah. Inside the Tanis base, Jax asks how long Omega will take and if something went wrong. Sammy alerts the other children to the arrival of the hovering Tanis medical droid and Dr. Scalder. The droid orders the children to head to their rooms so they can get blood samples. Sammy carries Byron to his room before going to her room. Scalder and the droids collect Sammy's sample. Sammy claims she's hungry, but Scalder says it will pass. She'll be fine until the actual rations have been delivered at the appropriate time. Meanwhile, Omega uses the dumbwaiter system to find her way to the Zillow Beast's watery enclosure, where it is guarded by stormtroopers. The Imperials use satellites to harm it with electrical pulses, basically torturing the thing. So it's going to be mad and willing to get revenge when it escapes. Back at the vault, Eva tells Dr. Scalder she doesn't feel very good, and Scalder orders the medical droid to scan SP-54, which is Eva. Omega heads back to her cell, but Scalder and the droid assess Eva to be perfectly fine. Scalder orders the droid to monitor her more closely. As Scalder approaches Omega's cell, Jax offers to go next, but the doctor tells him to wait his turn. Like, that's something he's looking forward to or something, I guess. I don't know. Omega returned to her cell just in time for her blood tests. Meanwhile, Echo enters Nala Se's laboratory and gains access to a computer with information about Omega's midichlorian count. Dr. Carr confronts him, telling him stormtroopers are not allowed in the laboratory. What the hell? Echo claims it's a special security protocol, but she notices his droid hand. Says, hey, that's not real. As he leaves, Carr addresses him as Echo and tells him that Omega talked about him. And he says, hey, Omega talked about you too. She introduces herself as Emery Carr. Echo says the Bad Batch is not rescuing her, but is here to liberate other prisoners that she has been experimenting on. When Carr says she was just following orders, Echo is unmoved. He says, that's a bunch of crap. You're full of it. You are doing it because you want to. He asks how she, as a clone, can be a part of this project. How? We're clones. Come on. We're all about, you know, we're all brothers and sisters. Echo says that Omega vouched for her and hopes she is right. That she's going to, you know, just help him out, but, you know, she was following orders. Echo demands to know where Omega is, and Carr confirms that Omega is inside the vault, but says she will need He will need her to get in there. She tells him to trust her in order to free the children. Carr explains that Omega is not the only child imprisoned in the base. Dun, dun, dun. Skulder finishes testing the children and leaves the vault. Omega tells the other children she found something big, and that she has a plan. Oh, she's got a plan. What kind of plan could that be? She asks them for help because she's gonna need it. And then the credits roll. Credits are rolling. Yeah, they're rolling good there. Yeah, it's kind of maybe a quick episode. A little bit of action going on there. You know, a lot better than some of the previous episodes. We've had a few filler ones. This one was a little action-packed. We got lots of fighting. We got the suspense of Omega going through the dumbwaiter system. And, you know, like I said, again, a lot of Bad Batch fighting going on there with different creatures and escaping and not being detected, blah, blah, blah. So it's a pretty good episode, like I said. I'm anxious to see what Rick and Scott say about it. Of course, we haven't received any feedback from them either, so it'd be nice if they would send us feedback, which brings us to this. Feedback. So we don't really have any feedback, but I'm going to beg you for it. So hopefully, if you're still listening to us, you will use these methods to send us some information. And, you know, we don't really care what it is. If you want to send us feedback saying you agree with us, that's great. You don't agree with us, that's even better. Then we can debate about it and discuss it. And you have a question, you don't agree with something that I may have said as fact. It may not be a fact. It may be something I made up in my mind. I don't know. Maybe you disagree with my opinion or anybody's opinion. Maybe you have your own opinion about what's going to happen in the last episode. Please, please send us feedback. We want it desperately. And we have five or six different ways you can send that to us. The first one would be through email, feedback@kylejohansson.us. We also have a link on our website, which is on the left-hand side of the website. Yeah, so it's over there somewhere. Left-hand side, there's a link that says feedback. You click it, and it brings up a form. Fill out the form. Click submit, and it comes right to us, and we'll respond to that. You can get on Twitter, and we're at super_duper_pod. We're also on the Blue Sky social media network, the AT protocol, and we're at Rebel Alliance Briefing Room, all one word. We're also on YouTube. We upload the audio and video to YouTube, and the audio goes to many other places. I think, Spotify also gets video. It appears when we do Spotify video that the audio disappears and it's only the video, which is fine. We'd prefer you watch the video anyway, because, you know, there may be some facial expressions going on. You may, you know, enjoy our t-shirts that we've got. I've got this t-shirt here with, it appears to be all the different symbols of Star Wars, but it's in different colors, kind of hinting at, being inclusive, let's just say. Yeah, you can send us that way. You don't have to just type up an email or anything. You can send us a video also. You could create a video and link it to us on YouTube, you know, link the video so we can play it. You could also attach those things on Twitter and Blue Sky. We'd love to get your feedback, because we'd love to see what you think about Star Wars in general, but, you know, exactly what we're talking about, what your opinions are. So please, please send us some feedback. All right. So we got the feedback out of the way. Again, send it. Don't be waiting around. And I think I'm going to get out of here so we can get this all wrapped up.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabrkylejohansson.us. That's rabr.kylejohansson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site.
Scan
that. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kylejohansson.us. This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or any or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited. I am Kyle John Johansson, and this is
me,
Andrew Scott Sutton.
Nope.
Say goodbye now.
No Andrew, no Rick. They're both busy with, you know, springtime chores and such. So, goodbye. Have a good week. One more episode. One more. Da-da-da-da.